It's Jesus' last conversation with his disciples as he'll be leaving them. This is the night, of course, that he was betrayed. And it's been a night of teaching and listening. And now Jesus prays what's commonly referred to as the high priestly prayer, the longest recorded prayer of our Lord Jesus. Long prayers. Do you confirmants know what long prayers are? If you think you do, I don't think you have a clue. Because some of us that grew up a generation or two before you remember long prayers and long prayers in the church. Some of you know what I'm speaking about? Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
I remember at my home one time when I was probably, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years old, somewhere there, my parents had invited our pastor over for dinner, which is kind of a bygone tradition now. Doesn't look like I've missed too many though, does it? But I remember that the pastor, and a wonderful, saintly, older gentleman, and he came, and of course Dad asked him to pray, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. And he covered everything from missionaries to the whole history of the church and 3 centuries beyond. Long prayers. This is Jesus' longest recorded prayer, and for good reason. He's got a very, very heavy agenda the next day, doesn't he? It's called the crucifixion. Jesus begins his prayer with these words, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." To glorify is just simply means to hold up and to make public in order to be seen. What time is meant when Jesus says, "The time has come"? Well, the Bible, the New Testament uses, of course, written in the Greek language, uses, the Greeks use two words for time. One is chronos, from which we get chronology, a chronograph, your watch. It simply measures hours and minutes and seconds, days, weeks, months. The other Greek word for time is kairos, and it speaks to an event, a happening, a presence of people and God. And he says in this text, the time, not the minute necessarily, hours, days, weeks, but the time, the event prescribed, foretold by the prophets, is now about to come. Victor Hugo, the French author, writes, "All the armies in the world cannot stop an idea whose time has come." There will be many moments in your lives, confirmands, just as there are in our lives, looking back, some of us. Times in life where all of the preparation, prayers, thoughts, anxieties come to a sort of a focal point. Graduations, weddings, induction into the service, deployment, new job, a new school, the big operation, the surgery coming up, the time has come. Many of you know the feeling when certain times are coming. One of my all-time favorite movies is the movie Hoosiers. Anybody else a fan of that old film? I see a hand in the back there. Hoosiers. What's the name of the actor? Gene Hackman. Plays a coach. He's kind of a has-been coach. He's called to this old high school, a rundown team in a small town in Indiana in the 1950s. He's been put under a lot of pressure from the city fathers, if you will, because he's this new guy, this outsider who's come in. Indiana, the state of Indiana, basketball is almost God on a high school level. He makes preparation with the team. The first game is about to start. Just before he enters the gym, he gets to the door, straightens his tie, and he says, "Welcome to Indiana basketball. The time had come." And all the work and preparation now was coming down into the next 40 minutes with his coach. Jesus says, "The time has come. Glorify your Son." He's going to be seen by the world in a way that the world will never forget and the world cannot lose sight of. This Jesus has been through a lot in his 3 years on earth. He has faced disciples and doubters, the Sanhedrin and priests, Pharisees, Sadducees, hucksters and hypocrites, zealots and scribes, Jews, Greeks, believers and betrayers. And now he will soon face Judas Iscariot, the temple guard, Lord Caiaphas, once again the Sanhedrin, King Herod, Pontius Pilate, and finally he will face death on the cross of Calvary. Jesus will soon be made manifest, that is, public for all the world to see, not in a vain or glorious way like American Idol, where the public votes, where judges vote, not in a way that any of us would seek. Jesus will be made manifest through an agonizing death. He has just prayed for that time to come. Why? Of all things, why would he pray for that time to come? In order to bring salvation for his people. Salvation comes, as in the words of Christ himself in our text today, from knowing the Father and Jesus Christ. But knowing and following Jesus Christ can come with a price. It comes with a cost. His grace is free, but following him can cost you dearly. Jesus told his disciples as much in John 15 when he said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first." Because to follow Jesus Christ may involve suffering. Our second lesson, 2 Peter, focused on that just a few moments ago. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. In just a few moments, we're going to be calling our confirmands up to the rail, or tradition here for the laying on of hands. And I should mention to parents of the confirmands and baptismal sponsors, we'll be calling you to come forward at that time too, but we'll make that clear at the right time. And we will lay hands on them and we will pray over them. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in all of our confirmands the gift of your Spirit. And one of the prayers that we pray over them each year, give him or her patience in their suffering. And I read that, and you've heard me comment on this before, but every year when we come back to that, I think of these young people, and I look at the cream of the crop here, and we lay hands on them. I look at these young people, and I wonder in my mind, you know, suffering, it seems perhaps pretty far removed right now, but what suffering will they endure in their life? Not a question of if, but when. Because life involves suffering. Life in Christ may involve suffering. Jesus said in these words, this promise in John 16, 33, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." So we pray for our young people that God will give you all kinds of gifts along the way to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, to embolden you in your witness, and to have patience in the suffering that will come your way. But know the promise that we have that underlies it all. Jesus, many promises in the Gospels. his promise to his disciples, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." To God be the glory. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand if you will.